Chapter 3. Unity in Belief and Action. God is leading out a people to stand in perfect unity upon the platform of eternal truth. Christ gave himself to the world that he might purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. This refining process is designed to purge the church from all unrighteousness and the spirit of discord and contention, that they may build up instead of tear down, and concentrate their energies on the great work before them. God designs that his people should all come into the unity of the faith. The prayer of Christ, just prior to his crucifixion, was that his disciples might be one, even as he was one with the Father, that the world might believe that the Father had sent him. 40:17. The benefits of unity. The Bible sets before us a model church. They are to be in unity with each other and with God. When believers are united to Christ, the living vine, the result is that they are one with Christ, full of sympathy and tenderness and love. June 12th. Suppose Christ should abide in every heart, and selfishness in all its forms should be banished from the church. What would be the result? Harmony, unity, and brotherly love would be seen as verily as in the church which Christ first established. Christian activity would be seen everywhere. The whole church would be kindled into a sacrificial flame for the glory of God. Every Christian would cast in the fruit of his self-denial to be consumed upon the altar. There would be far greater activity in devising fresh methods of usefulness, and in studying how to come close to poor sinners to save them from eternal ruin. 5T206. Those who are truly connected with God will not be at variance with one another. The spirit of harmony, peace, and love, his spirit working in their hearts, will create harmony, love, and unity. The opposite of this works in the children of Satan. There is with them a continual contradiction. Strife, envy, and jealousy are the ruling elements. The characteristic of the Christian is the meekness of Christ. Benevolence, kindness, mercy, and love originate from infinite wisdom, while the opposite is the unholy fruit of a heart that is not in harmony with Jesus Christ. One special evidence that the love of Christ is abiding in his church is the unity and harmony which exist among its members. This is the brightest witness to the possession of true religion, for it will convert and transform the natural man and fashion him after the divine similitude. Strive for unity. When Christ's prayer is fully believed, when its instruction is brought into the daily life of God's people, unity of action will be seen in our ranks. Brother will be bound to brother by the golden bonds of the love of Christ. The Spirit of God alone can bring about this oneness. He who sanctified himself can sanctify his disciples. United with him, they will be united with one another in the most holy faith. When we strive for this unity as God desires us to strive for it, it will come to us. There has been altogether too much reliance upon independent, uninspired judgment. Self-sufficiency and self-esteem lie at the foundation of the greatest trials and discords that have ever existed among the people of God. The angel of God has said to me again and again, "Press together. Press together. Be of one mind, of one judgment, that God may be your leader. Follow his footsteps, and you will walk safely." The clean heart and the right spirit are the gifts of his Son, purchased with infinite cost. Little differences dwelt upon lead to actions that destroy Christian fellowship. Let us not allow the enemy thus to gain the advantage over us. Let us keep drawing nearer to God and to one another. Then we shall be as trees of righteousness, planted by the Lord and watered by the river of life. The heart of the Saviour is set upon his followers fulfilling God's purpose in all its height and depth. They are to be one in him, even though they are scattered the world over. But God cannot make them one in Christ unless they are willing to give up their own way for his way. Each laborer should act with reference to the others. Followers of Jesus Christ will not act independently one of another. Our strength must be in God, and it must be husbanded to be put forth in noble, concentrated action. It must not be wasted in meaningless movements. In union, there is strength. There should be union between our publishing houses and our other institutions. If this unity existed, they would be a power. No strife or variance should exist among the workers. The work is one, superintended by one leader. Occasional and spasmodic efforts have done harm. However energetic they may be, they are of little value, for the reaction will surely come. We must cultivate a steady perseverance, continually searching to know and do God's will. God has made his church on the earth a channel of light, and through it he communicates his purposes and his will. He does not give to one of his servants an experience independent of and contrary to the experience of the church itself. Neither does he give one man a knowledge of his will for the entire church, while the church, Christ's body, is left in darkness. In his providence, he places his servants in close connection with his church in order that they may have less confidence in themselves and greater confidence in others whom he is leading out to advance his work. A 163:19-11. Submission to the Holy Spirit. God's workers must live in perfect submission to the will of God. There is danger of working at cross purposes with God, for man wants to work his way, which he supposes is the very best way in which to bring about the purposes of God. But we cannot have our own will and way. God must work in us and by us and through us. We are to be in the hands of God as clay in the hands of the potter, for him to mold after the divine similitude. Our hearts need to be wholly sanctified to God. Let us not seek to retain our own way and will. God has given us his truth, that it may sanctify, refine, and ennoble the whole man. February 26th. The Lord in his wisdom has arranged that by means of the close relationship that should be maintained by all believers, Christian shall be united to Christian and church to church. Thus the human instrumentality will be enabled to cooperate with the divine. Every agency will be subordinate to the Holy Spirit, and all the believers will be united in an organized and well-directed effort to give to the world the glad tidings of the grace of God. A 164:19-11. All our work in this world is to be done in harmony and love and unity. We are to keep the example of Christ ever before us, walking in his footsteps. Union is strength, and the Lord desires that this truth should be ever revealed in all the members of the body of Christ. All are to be united in love, in meekness, in lowliness of mind, organized into a society of believers for the purpose of combining and diffusing their influence. They are to work as Christ worked. They are ever to show courtesy and respect for one another. Every talent has its place and is to be kept under the control of the Holy Spirit. God's formula for success. If we are laborers together with God, we have many fellow laborers with whom we should unite with heart and mind and strength. Our success depends upon our unity. Our efficiency and the power of our influence depends upon our wise and unreserved cooperation with one another and with God. We are to advance the work in new territories, sustaining pure principles at every step. We are to cooperate with the angel that is flying in the midst of heaven, who also is in harmony with the two former angels in forwarding the solemn event of the second appearing of Christ in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. But while you, workers in institutions, are to love as brethren, and think mind to mind, soul to soul, heart to heart, life to life, you are individually to lean your whole weight on God. He will be your support. He is not pleased when you depend on each other for light and wisdom and direction. The Lord must be our wisdom. We must know individually that He is our sanctification and redemption. To Him we may look, in Him we may trust. He will be to us a present help in every time of need. Counsel and plan together. The greatest work is before us. Our peril, which threatens our usefulness, and which will prove our ruin if not seen and overcome, is selfishness, placing a higher estimate upon our plans and our opinions and our labors, and moving independently of our brethren. Counsel together have been the words repeated by the angel again and again. It is in the order of God that those who bear responsibilities should often meet together to counsel with one another and to pray earnestly for that wisdom which He alone can impart. Unitedly make known your troubles to God. Talk less. Much precious time is lost in talk that brings no light. Let brethren unite in fasting and prayer for the wisdom that God has promised to supply liberally. January 16th. Among God's people are some who have had long experience in His work, men who have not departed from the faith. Notwithstanding the great trials through which they have passed, they have remained faithful. These men should be regarded as tried and chosen counselors. They should be respected, and their judgment should be honored by those who are younger or who have had less experience, even though these younger men may be in official positions. January 16th.
In the work of the laborers, there should be a counseling together. No one is to strike out on his own independent judgment and work according to his own mind, unless he has a treasury of his own from which to draw. Our Heavenly Father careth for His children, and His grace is sufficient in every time of need. But if we consider ourselves sufficient to manage the work of God, and depend for success on our own individual wisdom to plan and execute, we may expect defeats and losses, for they will surely come. Satan may move through one man's mind to warp things out of their proper channel. He may succeed with two who view things in a similar light. But with several minds enlisted, there is greater safety against his wiles. Every plan will be more liable to be viewed from all sides. Every advance will be more carefully studied, so that no enterprise will be so likely to be entered upon which will bring confusion and perplexity and defeat to the work in which we are engaged. In union there is strength. In division there is weakness and defeat. Sceptre 053, 1896. Without me ye can do nothing, says Jesus. John 15, verse 5. And yet many think that man can do very much in his own finite strength and wisdom. Satan is ready to offer his counsel that he may win souls in the game of life. When men do not feel the need of counseling with their brethren, something is wrong. They trust to their own wisdom. It is essential that brethren should counsel together. This I have been compelled to urge for the last 45 years. Again and again the instruction has been repeated that those who are engaged in important work in the cause of God should not walk in their own ideas, but counsel together. They may regard their plans as without a flaw, but other minds may be enlightened on some points where they cannot see, or may take heed to suggestions and counsels of those who see not the truth. The Lord may have plans of a different order, not after the plans of finite man. The Lord has not endowed one man with all the qualifications essential to accomplish the work in our institutions. One man may be strong in one direction and weak on other points, and Satan understands how to take advantage of that weak point. And another may be strong in another direction, each making up for the deficiency of his brother. Let no man think himself sufficient of himself, with breadth of mind enough to carry the weighty responsibilities of running such institutions as the publishing house, the college, or the health institutions. Among a multitude of counselors, there is safety. In our work, we must consider the relation that each worker sustains to the other worker connected with the cause of God. We must remember that others, as well as ourselves, have a work to do in connection with this cause. We must not bar the mind against counsel. In our plans for the carrying forward of the work, our mind must blend with other minds. Let us cherish a spirit of confidence in the wisdom of our brethren. We must be willing to take advice and caution from our fellow laborers. Connected with the service of God, we must individually realize that we are parts of a great whole. We must seek wisdom from God, learning what it means to have a waiting, watching spirit, and to go to our Savior when tired and depressed. It is a mistake to withdraw from those who do not agree with our ideas. This will not inspire our brethren with confidence in our judgment. It is our duty to counsel with our brethren and to heed their advice. We are to seek their counsel, and when they give it, we are not to cast it away as if they were our enemies. Unless we humble our hearts before God, we shall not know His will. January 16th. The same line of work is not to be committed to each one, and therefore you, workers in institutions, need to counsel together in that freedom and confidence that should exist among the Lord's workmen. All need to have less confidence in self, and far greater confidence in the one who is mighty in counsel, who knows the end from the beginning. When you, Daniels, Colcord, Falkhead, Palmer, and Salisbury, respect each other, you will respect Jesus Christ. You are to show no preferences, for the Lord does not show preferences to His chosen ones. He says, "I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." This is the confidence that the Lord would have you cherish in each other. Unless you do this more than you have done in your past experience, you will not walk and work under the dictates of the Spirit of God. God would have you united in pleasant cords of companionship. As the Lord's workmen, you are to open your plans one to another. These plans must be carefully and prayerfully considered, for the Lord will leave those who do not do this to stumble in their own supposed wisdom and superior greatness. Unity in diversity. The vine has many branches, but though all the branches are different, they do not quarrel. In diversity, there is unity. All the branches obtain their nourishment from one source. This is an illustration of the unity that is to exist among Christ's followers. In their different lines of work, they all have but one head. The same Spirit, in different ways, works through them. There is harmonious action, though the gifts differ. Study this chapter, 1 Corinthians 12. You will see from it that the man who is truly united with Christ will never act as though he were a complete whole in himself. The perfection of the church depends not on each member being fashioned exactly alike. God calls for each one to take his proper place, to stand in his lot, to do his appointed work according to the ability which has been given him. You, missionaries in Africa, have not all the same stamp of character, and each will be inclined to think that the work must be molded according to his own ideas and views. Unconsciously to yourselves, this spirit will be cherished, and you will seek to introduce methods of your own. The workers should first obtain the grace of Christ, so they will be enabled to sink self out of sight. Then there will be unity, even among a diversity of dispositions. Each worker is to use his God-given ability to the utmost for the upbuilding of Christ's kingdom on the earth. We each have an individuality in manner and bearing, and this is as it should be. But this need not prevent our working together in perfect harmony. Those whom God is using are to occupy the position of learners and workers. They are to remember that God has appointed them individually, and are to leave God to work upon other minds. They are to leave others free to act according to God's appointment. The will of every man is to be submerged in the will of God. No one is to regard his mind as the only mind that God is controlling. The one who is strong to do the will of God intelligently, who is using his mind in God's service, will just as surely be united with others whom God is using. In what other way could the building of God be completed in all its parts, in perfect fitness and unity? Results of disunity. It is not the opposition of the world that we have to fear, but it is the elements that work among ourselves that have hindered the message. The efficiency of the movements for extending the truth depends upon the harmonious action of those who profess to believe it. Love and confidence constitute a moral force that would have united our churches and ensured harmony of action. But coldness and distrust have brought disunion that has shorn us of our strength. The Spirit of Christ is grieved when any of his followers give evidence of possessing a harsh, unfair, or exacting spirit. As laborers together with God, each should regard the other as part of God's great firm. He desires that they shall counsel together. There is to be no drawing apart, for the spirit of independence dishonors the truth we possess. Fellow laborers, we are sowing the seed which we will reap for eternal life. The harvest is ours, to reap that which we have sown. If you sow distrust, envy, jealousy, self-love, bitterness of thought and feelings, this harvest you will be sure to reap. This will be a sowing of dragon's teeth to reap the same. Be sure to pray and counsel together before coming to decisions and laying your plans, and then, in the Spirit of Christ, push the work unitedly. If one of your number decides that he cannot cooperate with his brethren and has no desire to work because of differences of opinion, the course to be pursued is without a question. Humble yourselves before God and resort to prayer, for you cannot and must not attempt to work at variance. From anyone who persists in stubbornness and self-will, God will remove his spirit, and another will wear the crown that was for him. God accepts only those who will learn of Christ, those who study his word, learning the lessons of meekness and lowliness of heart, lessons of obedience, willingness to do their work in God's way, not their finite way. Love of self, pride, and self-sufficiency lie at the foundation of the greatest trials and discords that have ever existed in the religious world. Again and again the angel has said to me, "Press together, press together, be of one mind, of one judgment. Christ is the leader, and you are brethren. Follow him. Walk in the light as he is in the light." Those who walk in the footsteps of Christ shall not walk in darkness. But those who draw apart in unsanctified independence cannot have God's presence and blessing in the work.
Workers can easily place themselves where divine love, power, and wisdom cannot reach them, where they cannot have help in counsel, in difficulties and trials, because they would not understand and rightly appropriate heaven's rich treasure. They would glorify themselves and think their own ways perfect and become established in self-righteousness. It was shown me that broader plans should be laid, But at the same time, the work in each branch of the cause should be harmoniously united with that in every other branch, all making a perfect whole. But now, selfish ideas and principles are interwoven with the plans of the workers, which make the work defective. One man, who has the oversight of a certain line of work, magnifies his responsibilities until his one branch, in his mind, is above every other branch, when in reality, all are equally important. When this narrow, selfish idea is received, all his energies are set to imbue the people with the same idea. This is human nature, but not after Christ's order. Just in proportion as this policy is followed, Christ is pushed aside and self appears prominent. When the Savior is allowed his part in the work, none will become entirely absorbed in any one branch of it, but all will have broad ideas and will attribute to all parts of the work their due importance. All who believe the great truths for this time, if sanctified through the truth, will wear the yoke of Christ. They will lift the burdens of responsibility. A spirit to act independently and alone must not be cherished. If they do this, in the place of the Lord's people being in perfect harmony, of one mind, one purpose, and consecrated to one grand object, they will waste their capabilities and their efforts will be fruitless. Some may say that they love the Lord, but that they cannot love their brother as they should. The brother may have ways that are very trying. He may do things that are unwise. But if his brethren, who have had longer experience and a more even, well-balanced judgment, shall refuse to connect with the one who grieves and tries their soul, they reveal that they are not followers of Christ. They reveal that they do not follow the example of him who clothed his divinity with humanity, that by laying aside his glory and his kingly honor, he might reach humanity.